Hey friends, before we dive in, my new book, Sowing a Hidden Seed, Daily Prayers for Your Child's Spiritual Growth, is out now, available on intentionalparents.org exclusively, so go check that out. Christmas is coming. What a great Christmas present to get your family praying. And don't miss our upcoming retreats, the Intentional Fatherhood Retreat, February 19 through 21, 2026, in Costa Mesa, California, and the Intentional Motherhood Retreat. We announced this April 23rd through 25th, 2026 in Franklin, Tennessee. Please come out and know that early bird pricing is on both of those events, so check that out. These retreats are spaces to pause, breathe, and invest in your spiritual formation as a parent. So learn more, get your tickets now at intentionalparents.org, and let's get into this week's episode. You're listening to the Intentional Parents Podcast, brought to you by Intentional. Intentional is all about spiritual formation in the family. We desire to bring biblical hope and practical help. Enjoy this week's conversation. Today on the show, we have Jeff and Jordan Johnson. They're worship leaders at Passion City Church in Atlanta, and they host the Open Spaces podcast. Together, they bring years of ministry, creativity, and honesty to everything that they do, whether leading worship or having real conversations about faith, marriage, and identity. Their story carries both beauty and battle, and they've walked through the questions that many of you do: calling, healing, what does it mean to follow Jesus with nothing to hide, as they really lead by example and go first. Now, out of their journey and story, which you're going to hear today, came the Open Spaces podcast, and it's a ministry built around one idea: that God really meets us right where we are if we make room for Him. These wonderful people, Jeff and Jordan, became fast friends, and as you will hear, their story is powerful and impactful. So please make sure to check out the show notes and follow all that they're doing. Open Spaces is an incredible ministry. Also want to say thank you to everyone who's rated, subscribed, and left a comment. It is more helpful than you know. It helps get the word out. So if you haven't had a chance to do that, would you just even pause right now and do one of those three or all? That would be very helpful. But enjoy today's conversation with Jeff and Jordan Johnson. All right. Welcome back to the Intentional Parents Podcast. Today's a special day. As you heard in the intro, new friends on the episode. If there was a round of applausibility, there's not. But Jeff and Jordan are here with us. Elizabeth and I will clap. Yes. Miles, let's insert some claps.
Lots of claps.
Like, yeah, fake claps. Yes. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
For anyone
what an
watching,
honor to be here.
Well, anyone watching knows that this is very intimate. We are in a hotel room. This is incredible friendship already.
It is.
We're in a hotel room in Nashville. Can I just give a context for this?
Yes. Like, please do. Please
you
do.
You guys are the best folks. People don't know this. They heard this in the intro. But Elizabeth came across your guys' stuff. What month was that? Was it right when it came out? Maybe February? Okay, we'll tell you that. She sends me your guys' podcast. She says, you have to listen to this. These people are incredible. You need to check it out. And she sends it to me, and we listened to, you did what was smart, and you released a week at a time. Yeah. And she sent only 2 weeks in, which I was like, why'd you do that? Just wait till like 8 weeks in. So I listened to the whole thing. But anyway, she sent it, and then just immediately, not only loved your story, which I cannot wait for you guys to share. Thank you for sharing it.
Yeah.
But then also just fell in love with the way that you guys really are so real about Jesus, about your faith, about your story, about what God's doing in transparency in real time. And it's been really, it's just so refreshing in the space of communication that does not always happen. You guys know that. Mm-hmm. And Elizabeth and I highly value that. And the whole Intentional very much values that. So that was the first thing. And then we jumped on a call and we're like, we got to do this sometime. We're like, great. And then life gets busy. You guys get busy. We get busy. We ended up being close to Nashville. You guys live in Atlanta, Georgia, not even close to Nashville, about 3 hours away. And I like literally voice memoed you, Jeff. I was like, I'm here. I'm sure you don't have time, but like in 2 days, could you, if you want to hang and like, we can have lunch and dinner, like do a podcast. And you guys were like,
and I voice texted you right back. And you said, I'm in.
Yeah, well, like, no, we'll what you said, which I love, was what you don't know about me is I love last minute things.
Yes,
that's right. Like,
yeah. I did call Jordan and ask, make sure.
Yeah.
Okay, we're good.
Gung ho. Yeah.
Gotta make sure we get kids taken care of. And then we jumped in the car.
You guys are amazing. It's awesome. So we're here. That's the context. So I just want to let, if everyone's like, where are they at? That's where we're at, which makes the story even more beautiful.
Yes.
But we're just really glad you're on the show. And thanks for taking time.
We are so grateful to be
on
the show.
We're very happy to be here.
And I will just say this before we even get into our story. Y'all have already been so encouraging to us and encouraging us in all the ways that we didn't even know we needed it. And so we're just super grateful to step in today and be with you guys. And I even think about the first time we did that Zoom call and met. And I was like, okay, these people, Jordan, I were like, we got to know them. It was immediate. It was like, we have to know them and we got to like hang with them. And it was just crazy how the Lord put it all together.
Yes.
So we're just super, super grateful.
I love it. And Elizabeth and I are going to be sharing a mic. So if I'm like, hey, do you want to say something, Elizabeth? That's because
I only brought
three mics. Yeah, that's right. So this is where we're at. So we are completely family living room style. This is a conversation. And also, I just want to give a heads up. The content today is going to be rich. It's also going to be potentially, there's moments of maturity in it. Yeah. So if someone's listening in the car with kids, I would say probably just know that like there's some definitely adult ideas and contents that kids might be like, what? And we're all for that. Like actually use it as an excuse to have conversations with your kids. But if you're like, I'm not ready to have those conversations, just FYI.
Yes.
And then the other detail would be get some tissues because there is some real things happening. Your guys' story is beautiful. So I just want to kind of, I'll set the stage. Do you want to say anything? Do you want the mic before I ask a question?
You want the mic passed?
Keep going. You keep it going. Yeah, I have to,
she said no, if you didn't hear that. She said no. So what I'd love to do is just really open it up. And can you please share with us your story? Now, I know that that's together now, right?
Yeah.
But please feel free wherever you'd like to start and share with us life and story.
What's going on? Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'll let you kick us off.
Okay. Well, Jeff and I met where, I guess a little bit of context needs to be given for the background. I came from a Southern Baptist family, born and raised, oldest of four kids, very beautiful upbringing. And I was very much a typical kind of straight-laced, firstborn, good Christian girl. And had in terms of like what my life had brought me at the point we met, there was just not a lot of struggle, nothing even really shaking my faith. I was a believer from a young age, and just had a pretty easy, good life. And also kind of lived in a box, and wasn't really comfortable with anything outside of that box. So then I met Jeff when I was 19. We
like to say that I burst your bubble.
Absolutely.
Your box real wide open.
Sure.
Yes.
So that's the context coming into meeting Jeff. And Jeff had just graduated from college, and we met, became fast friends. Really, we bonded over, we were worship leaders, mm-hmm. loved leading worship together. We actually met leading worship and just had a lot in common, had a lot of fun, became friends, were friends for a year before we started dating, and eventually start dating, kind of getting more serious. We're long distance for a while. And then we broke up, got back together. And so it kind of culminates, the first big turning point is like 5 years into our relationship. Mm-hmm. I have graduated from college. He's in like the corporate world. But that was a key point in our relationship. And I'll let you catch up from where you kind of your background in getting into this point.
Yeah. Grew up in New Mexico, and growing up, like we went to church. Church was like a thing we did. And I went, but it wasn't like personal to me. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't until I went to college, and I was a junior in college when I went to a conference, and it was at the Passion Conference when like first time I heard, like, I know I had been in many rooms when I had heard the gospel, mm-hmm. but that was the room when I heard it and it all like clicked. And I was like, oh, okay. This is who Jesus is.
Well, I have a question about that.
Yeah.
So what year was that?
That was in 1998.
1998. And it was a Passion Conference.
Yeah.
And your job second now is leading conference. All worship for.
And now,
you guys
now
lead worship
pastor at
what
Passion
a,
City Church.
What a fun.
It's crazy how
cool. I'm just putting that thread together. Like what a cool thing how God does
it
that.
It is
like,
very cool. It's kind of like the surreal thing of like, oh, whoa, that the Lord used this thing.
Yeah.
In both of our lives. That's where he called Jordan to be a worship leader too.
And, I know.
And then all these years later, now that we're getting to like be there and part of what God's doing in the church, it's crazy. It's wild. So, it was at that conference when the Lord just opened my eyes. It was the thing. It was a classic thing of like the way that I had been living my life. I was like, okay, I'm never going to go back. Like, I'm not going to do these things and like making promises to God and mm-hmm. kind of just that's all I knew. And it was like, okay, great. Like now I'm going to keep kind of striving in my own strength. But that's kind of, I didn't really have a lot of discipleship or leadership, you know, walking out of that conference. Mm. So then as I met Jordan, we are like dating. And I had never really had, like, I had never had a girlfriend. Like, so this is like the first time I'm figuring out like what this is like and like having a lot of fun. And even outside of all of my other issues, I had the issue of just being really immature and not like
classic.
Yes. And not knowing how to like treat a woman and like how to like that just wasn't I didn't know how to do that well. So on top of that, like I'm learning what it's like to be a young 20s and how to like date and, you know, that kind of thing. But we were at that point, we had been dating, like Jordan said, for like 5 years.
Yeah, five years. We had broken up once and it was kind of that breakup kind of felt like, oh, we're in two different stages of life. We were dating long distance. He wasn't like, you know, really pursuing me. Like I felt like I needed to be pursued. To yeah, totally. Like,
okay,
pursuer. He's not familiar like, with okay, the lingo.
I get it.
Yeah. Okay. So that kind of seemed like a natural breakup for that season of life. But we get to this point, where we had been back together. We're in, you know, mid-20s, late 20s for you. Yep. And we'd been together for long enough that we're like kind of at this crossroads where we're like, okay, are we going to keep moving forward or what's going to happen? Because there were some kind of tension points and I was kind of feeling insecure. And I wasn't feeling like so pursued, but you know, he wants to be in this relationship. And I'm like, at this point I'm in love with him. And like, I'm like, okay, are we moving towards the future? And
I was very romantic, like when you told me, even with love.
Oh, it turns out I told him I love you first.
And I said, thank you. That was how romantic I was.
You really did?
I did. We were in the car, she said it, and I said, thank you. And yeah. now it's like, okay, well, Jeff had a lot to learn.
Yeah, sure.
But
yeah. That's what every woman hopes.
Exactly. Absolutely. It's a real dream.
They're the ones that say
yes,
first.
If they're going to throw themselves out there.
If you worked up the courage.
It's like, yeah. I had to say thank you. Like, that was very kind of her.
Oh my gosh. Just show some gratitude. Yeah. So we kind of got to this place in our dating. And we were having some conversations, some serious conversations.
And going through a book.
Yeah, we were going through this book together and something in the book triggered Jeff to where he kind of referenced vaguely this moment in his childhood that was significant. But he didn't tell me what it was, didn't unpack it, but I could tell there was definitely something there. And at this point, it felt like I should know this. I mean, and you have to understand too, the nature of our relationship. We were very open with each other in so many ways. We had really open communication. It was easy. Our communication style was, it was not tense. It was very, it flowed. So it felt very strange that something would come up that I didn't know about at this point. So I pushed him on it and I kind of gave him this like, okay, I think if we're going to keep moving, I think you should be able to share this with me. This seems very significant. So,
but you gave me 48 hours, I think.
Something like that. Like, hey, yeah, a couple of days. Days like, let's, meet. You know, you can kind of prepare yourself or like whatever, think through it.
Yeah.
But I think we need to discuss this. So we kind of had this planned moment where we were going to come around, whatever this was. And so we got together on this particular night and then he proceeds to tell me this story. Of, you know, just this whole unlocking of things that he's never shared with anyone before.
Yeah. So this is the first time that I had ever shared with anyone that I was same sex attracted. So first time that I said the words out loud, had been living like a very double life. Like, so having encounters and like acting out in it. But it was like I was a different person on that side. It was like I would do that, but then I would like be with Jordan and be like, well, I love hanging out with you, but my attractions are not, I'm not like necessarily attracted to you. I'm not attracted to women. So like, this is weird. Like, but it was the first time that I ever said it. So when she was like, okay, we sat down and she's like, we have this special place in Dallas that like is our place. But we sat down and I said, yeah, this is the reality of my life. Now,
but even painting the picture, you couldn't really even look at me.
No.
I mean, this was through tears. This is through like, imagine. You know, just kind of head down, just doesn't know what the response is going to be. Literally first time he's ever let the words come out of his mouth.
Yeah. And I didn't even know how to say it. Like that's the thing. It was like,
didn't even have really language.
There was no language around it. It was like, I'm attracted to guys. I don't know that we can keep going. I explained something that had happened in my past, like when I was a kid, that kind of like started down this road. And it's kind of had been my whole life of thinking I had always felt more attracted to men than women. So like it was, I was actually saying it though. And it was weird to even hear myself say it. So we had this moment of, I'm crying. I'm not really able to look at her. I'm thinking, you know, in this moment, I'm thinking, well, this is it. Like, this is when she says, okay, like, we're done. We're, yeah, you know, like, okay, like, that's for you to figure out. And when I was met with the other side of, hey, I believe that God has something for us in this and I'm not going anywhere. That was her words. And so I was like, it was like, it hit me because it was absolutely the different thing that I expected.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, that's different. And I didn't even know how to, I feel like that night, that's all I could process was like, she didn't leave. She accepted the fact that this, and I can only imagine in that moment, like what all that you were feeling, but the fact that you were wise enough to not, you didn't push me in that. You let me say it. You sat with me in my grief, like talking about it. You met me there and it was like so special to us. That moment was like, it was the most pivotal moment of my life. I was 28. It's the first time I'm saying these things. And I had lived with my whole life, like for 28 years of just like feeling this internal thing that was, I had no way to process that. Mm-hmm. So that was very interesting. That was, yeah. And the fact that she didn't leave was the best thing. Like, so then now we have something to deal with.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that began, opened up a whole nother thing in our journey. And so it was, I don't remember, like we had started going to counseling and dating, which is funny because people are like, hey, do y'all, like even when married or dating couples will be like, do y'all think we should do counseling? We're like, no, probably not. But we did. But we're like, we had a big issue.
It was different.
Like, okay, maybe it does work for you. Maybe you should go to counseling when you're dating. But we had a counseling session like scheduled. And so we show up to the counselor and he's the second person, you know, so we sit down and he's like, how was your week? It's like, big week. Start downloading with him. And this man was just the most like amazing, godly man, just constantly speaking Romans 8:28 over us. God works all things for his good. Like it's, and he believed in us and believed in what God was doing in us. And I don't even know if I knew how bad I needed someone to look at me and say, it's okay. And we can keep pressing through this. And you have two people now with you that are like willing to love you through this. So that was a huge moment. That was a turning point of our relationship.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that kind of set us off on a new path of, we have new information. We are, you know, wanting to move forward and start fighting for our relationship in a new way. So we, you know, kind of stayed through counseling. We ended up breaking up two more times. I mean, it
crazy
was a
journey,
very
y'all. 10 years total.
Much a roller coaster.
10 years of dating.
10 years. That's a long time.
I don't know that we've ever met anybody that has beat us in the years
y'all,
of dating.
At this point, there have been a few, but it was quite a journey. And yeah, and so then, you know, the breakups are feel devastating. And, you know, for me in my late 20s, the last time we broke up, I thought it was for good. I'm like, okay, yeah, I guess we just have to close this book because my heart had just been on this crazy roller coaster. I felt like I had given everything I could. And so we just went our separate ways.
And I had reached a point where I was like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
I really didn't
believe that he
was
able to be able to do it.
I tried really hard to fight against that sin.
When you say be able to do it, meaning like be with a woman, be married to a woman, that's what you mean by that.
Yes.
Yeah?
Okay. I didn't know how to, I did not know how to tame my desires or like fight my sin in a way that I could truly surrender my life to Jordan. So I was like, if I don't know how to do that after all of this work, this counseling, then I want to love you and let you go. Like, so,
yeah.
But it was interesting because even when we broke up, I was like, it was like the peace of the Lord. Like it was only because of that. I think that it was like, I think we're going to get back together one day. It made no sense. And she moved on. Like she went on and
I could not think that way.
Yeah.
I could not healthily think that way.
Wow.
So, for me, you can talk about your season in that moment, but at that point this is our third breakup. I was 27 years old and everything in my life was in kind of upheaval at that point because our lives were very intersected. We were leading worship together. We were like, so it's like ministry, career, relationship, you know, all the future. So it was, I had to go through some major rebuilding.
Yeah.
And so learning who I am, what am I going to do? What am I going to do with my life? And so I felt like wisdom said, you have to just close that and be done, move on, move forward. So I did. And the Lord, he did incredible work in my life in those years. And then,
and mine too, we started opening our life up to more and more people. I started actually figuring out what it was like to like walk with guys, actually talk about your sin, actually like fight your sin. And while my sin looked different than a lot of the guys around me, that I wasn't like meeting other guys with the same struggle as me that I'm fighting with. But when you start talking about your sin in a way that's like you can relate to, mine's same sex attracted, but what is yours? And it was, you know, whatever the other thing was, it was like, okay, how are you fighting that? So there was like a more normalizing of like, instead of like suppressing, hiding, it was more living in the light, living in truth, and inviting others to do that with me, that led to a healing that I needed in those 2 years that Jordan could not fulfill, that I had to be away from her and literally like just with the Lord, figure it out and realize I could not like try to stay. I always relate it to like just an alcoholic, like the sobriety periods got longer and longer of and acting out. And like, I got to where it was like, okay, I've been clean for a long time now. And I feel like I can invite someone else into my life now. And I'm not perfect, but I've seen God like give me the grace and the strength to fight it. And that was a different thing after. So then that was after 10 years. We had been apart for 2 years that last time.
And 2 years?
2 years
two
of being
and a half
apart.
Years, yeah. And also, what the Lord was doing in me, in addition to helping like kind of rebuild my confidence and helping me even see, you know, who I am apart from Jeff and the ministry that he has for me and all these things, he was also showing me, I mean, breaking up was, it's, as you could imagine, devastating on many counts. But one of the ways was, I love this person so much and I have believed so much for them. And I don't know what's going to happen to him. Yeah. You know, if he's saying like, I can't do this, what does that mean? You know, what does that mean for him? And what does that mean for what he believes about the Lord? And so I'm even having, you know, I'm having to
the grief and all the absolutely down, depression. And
so having to even in my faith think like, what, God, what are you going to do with him?
Yeah.
Are you going to really take care of him? And having to let go and let the Lord do whatever he was going to do. And so that was a huge thing for my faith to be rebuilt in these ways of like, what do I really believe about the Lord? Mm-hmm. What he's capable of, what he will do. Mm-hmm. So that was also huge for me. And then learning what it is to like, okay, well, I had to also come to the terms with like, well, I thought that I was going to be the significant tool in his life to help him see what the Lord could do.
I'm going to rescue him.
Totally. Yeah, exactly. Totally. Yeah. And so, you know, taking myself off of that pedestal and realizing like the Holy Spirit can do whatever he wants. Mm-hmm. And he may or may not use me. And I'm not the magic ingredient here. So that was also very important for me to begin to realize just for life and whatever my future was going to hold.
Yeah.
We want to let you know about a new offering, a 31-day prayer devotional entitled Sowing a Hidden Seed, Daily Prayers for Your Child's Spiritual Growth. This book was born out of desperation. I didn't know how to lead my kids spiritually, so I started praying honest, dependent, daily prayers. Jeremiah 29:12 says, "Then you will call on me, God says, and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." If you want to learn more, head to intentionalparents.org. And if you partner with us at $25 a month or more, we'd love to send you a copy as a thank you.
So then all of a sudden, after 2.5 years.
That's a long, let's just note, pause for a second. Yeah. That's a long time. Elizabeth also broke up with me for 2.5 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But we were 17 when she broke up with me. She got out early. She's like,
so wise.
She clocked it real quick. She's like, these are her words. I could not see myself marrying you. That was
interesting.
You got to know.
How did that go after 2.5 years?
After it crushing my soul.
Right.
It was a great impetus to begin change. And it was catalytic moment to grow. I mean, it sounds very similar in that sense. And for me, it was like, sent me on the journey of like, whoa, I don't want to be that person.
Yes.
This is not my story though, but just a note.
No, that's awesome.
That I understand what that 2.5 years feels like.
Yes.
And then what it, you know, consequently does. It does, I think, so much good. So
absolutely.
That is a long time. I remember I've lived it. So I'm just noting it's not a small amount of time.
Right.
Because I mean, at that point you have basically said, It's done. Like, yes. Totally. You had to let that die. That's right. Essentially, in the set, what you thought of it to be. I mean, you're moving
right.
on. Like, I mean,
that's right.
Yeah. So keep going. I just am so.
Yeah.
Still, I'm on the edge of my seat and I know the story. So keep going.
How does it end? Yes.
You're doing a great job. Keep going.
Well, through an a really actually cool part of the story that we don't have to go into all the details of, we end up in the same place at the same time. And you have to know too, we were not in touch in those 2.5 years. Our lives were so entwined. We had to, disentangle all that and kind of figure out like, who are my friends? Who are yours? Yeah, or like, who are the friends we share, but we just hang out with at different times. But we did kind of find each other in the same place at the same time. We had like kind of this group hang and it was really fun. But then it was like, well, that kind of came and went. But then like a couple of days later, I get a text from Jeff and he's asks if we can hang out, because he would like, because I would like to clear up some things from last weekend. And I'm literally thinking, what do we need to clear up?
Jordan did not want.
I feel very clear about where things stand. And like, I don't need any clarity. Yeah. I'm good. Wow. So I was like super annoyed in the moment.
Sure.
But I am also very curious. And so I'm like, okay, let's get together and see what this is all about. And so we meet up at Starbucks and sit down. And then Jeff proceeds to kind of essentially start showing some remorse for the past. And it's not that he hadn't done that yet, but he was just kind of tracing back like, I've realized in this time, like how I treated you, how I kind of did not pursue you well. And I've learned all these things and I'm thinking like, oh, well, this is cool. Like he's just reflecting and maybe just wanting to apologize. And I'm not saying anything. I'm just listening to what his speech. And it was literally speech.
I know your type. I've learned he does like listening to himself talk. And I do like talking with him.
At one point I was like talking, she had gone to the bathroom. Yeah. And I was like, where is she? Like, I'm still giving my speech.
I'm kidding.
Yes.
Sarcasm is a love language.
Yes. Absolutely. Keep going. So at some point, his speech turns a corner and he starts talking about the future. Wow. And I'm literally like, what? You know, what's happening here? And he ultimately is saying, I've done a lot of work. I still believe in us. And I'm curious if you would give me another chance. I was not prepared for that. And so it totally took me by surprise.
Wow.
Because at this point, I've done all this work to try to move on and heal. And so that kind of set us on a new path of just like processing this. And there was some time and space in there. And eventually about a month later, I came around and was like, okay, I think the Lord has prepared me for this in ways that I didn't know.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, the timeline of this is funny. It's 2010. We had that meeting in, March and we ended up getting married in November of that year.
It was very quick.
Wow.
It was at that point.
Well, it's 10 years. You'd been okay. Yeah, I think you figured that out.
It was like, there's nothing else to figure out in this. Like we're either in or we're out. So we ended up getting married and our wedding was amazing. Cause it was there was a lot of people in the room that didn't know our story. Obviously the pastor that married us, like, knew our story. And so and it was just like the culmination of all of this 10 years of like fighting, for what everyone was watching happen in front of them. And we said for a long time, like that was a gift to us to step into marriage, knowing each other
in
so
ourselves.
Much. Like we knew ourselves, we knew each other. Like there was literally nothing hidden. Like that was a gift that we got through the craziness of the journey that I'm grateful for and have remained grateful for. But so now we're married and
we have three kids. But even then, getting married set us off on a new part of our journey and just figuring out what is marriage going to look like? What is our sex life going to look like? That was a big question mark for us. And so it was very interesting and there have been, many turns along the way and a lot to learn, a lot to process. Yeah. And,
we walked in with a lot of faith.
Yeah.
Like, okay, God, you've led us this far. There's no way we had seen what he could do and what was possible. So it was like the next step was easier to trust. So it was like, well, I don't know how it's all going to work out, but it what we have seen, if anything that we have seen leads to where we're going, then it's going to be pretty great. And we had to just walk in with a lot of trust of like dying to ourselves in all kinds of ways. And then stepping into a marriage, and we've watched God do so much in our marriage, and just, and then giving us kids, like, it's truly amazing. Like, our kids are such the greatest gift of our life. Mm-hmm. And we always say they're like our miracles, that, it's only because of God's kindness and grace in my life that he gave me Jordan, that is a miracle to me. Then he gave me kids that I could actually know what it is to father and disciple and lead a family, like, that should have never been in my story. Like, but God intervened in the story and rescued me in a really drastic way that took a lot of years, a lot of discipleship, a lot of fighting against my sin, a lot of my struggle, and surrendering my life in a full way of saying, okay, I'll die to this every single day. It hasn't gone away. I think that's something that, like, Jordan and I are pretty passionate about talking about, because I think often in church, we can talk about the wrapped up bow story of like, well, that's great now. And it's awesome that y'all are on this side of it. But we are still every single day, like, she has her own things and I have this and other things, and we're still dying to ourselves and fighting for our marriage. And it's an amazing thing that we get to do, but it is still an active struggle that we have learned tools and accountability and friends and community and everything that we use to now fight together. Mm-hmm. And we do that together, and there's nothing off the table. Everything is open. We talk about it all. Mm-hmm. We have, Jordan's so amazing. We just really have connected in a way that, like, humor is a big part of our marriage. So, like, even sometimes it's not always heavy. Yeah. Like, we have realized how to, even with our sin, not ever take our sin lightly, but to not ever be so pushed down by our sin that we can't breathe and enjoy each other. And, like,
we're not to take ourselves too seriously.
And, like, and, like, use humor in some of it, and just figure it out. This is our dynamic. This is how Jeff and Jordan work. And I wouldn't be married if it wasn't for Jordan. That's what I always say. I'm like, God gave me the perfect person for me to walk with. So that's our story.
Two things I want to highlight, and then a question I want to ask. First of all, thank you guys for sharing so openly and so honestly here with us today, and then in the work that you do. It's so needed, and it's vulnerable, right? Yeah. Like, to share the whole story. And I think it's so incredibly helpful for all the people who are living their story in the dark, right? And they're living it every day, but they don't. The world doesn't know. Their close circle doesn't know.
Yes.
So thank you for your vulnerability. And then just noting, like, hearing your journey, you know, I think oftentimes, you know, sadly, we'll hear some of these types of stories and it didn't turn out well in the end. But oftentimes it's, you know, people go into it naively, like, well, if we just get married, everything will just be fine.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
But I love the fact that it was a 10-year journey and that it was a journey that involved other people, involved a counselor. Like, you, Jordan, you knew what you were signing up for.
Yes.
Yeah.
When you said yes to marrying Jeff.
That is true.
And you knew you were signing up for your marriage looking a little different.
Right.
And I think that's beautiful, like a beautiful redemption story that God can work all things together for good. Yes. And it just might look really different than what we set out for it to look like. And then my question, I remember in listening to your podcast and hearing your whole story, I remember you, Jeff, talking about how for you, you decided, I want to go all in and follow Jesus.
That's right.
Which means I'm not going to act out on this part of my life. That's going to make that choice. And for you, it meant marriage. Like, you felt like that was something you could commit to. At what point in your journey was it like this line in the sand? Yes, this is a struggle of mine, but I am choosing to follow Jesus all the way. Mm-hmm. And I believe what he says is for my flourishing. And so I'm going all in. I would even consider marriage. I want kids. Like, I'm sure that was not a one marked moment and it was done forever.
Right.
But talk a little bit about that, of like, why choosing this way? Of like, I can still follow Jesus regardless of this. Like, what was that like for
you? It's an interesting thing, because I said for a long time, like, in the middle of my sin and in the middle of the struggle, I would get, I would say at times, just in my full honesty, I would say, this would have been so much easier if you wouldn't have saved me, God. Like, if I could just live in my sin, this would be way easier. But I didn't have that. So I know salvation is a gift, but in the fight and the struggle, there were often times that I was like, I wish I wasn't saved in this moment. And it was like, okay, what do you do with that? But being honest with God, there is so much in my journey that I had to realize that God, if this is a relationship that we can talk that way, and I can say these things to him and then listen to what he's saying back to me. And I'm grateful that I did that, because now my relationship with the Lord is so much deeper and richer. But it was in that I was like, okay, I am going to choose to deny. I mean, all of us are dying to ourselves in some way. And I felt like it was interesting, because there was a shifting moment almost of like, this is almost a gift of like that I get to choose to die to this and something that's so big to me. And when I always say I put my stake in the ground. I was like, I will not go back. Like, I'm going to, that will mean that like, I will crave things that I don't get in life. But I knew that I believed, and I felt like the Lord was telling me there's something better than that. Like it's, there's something, you think that that's what you want, but, I know the true desires of your heart.
Yes.
And it was like, when I started like actually following that and listening to that and believing that, like it was, I started seeing how that played out. And, so I really did, like, it was more like this is an interesting thing, because in this struggle, I feel like there's a lot of guys who just are like, well, I wish I didn't have this. I'm going to be single my whole life. I'm going to like, how do you fight this? How do you live in this flesh and still choose Jesus if this is your desire? But, I think what was the most helpful thing in all of it was normalizing same-sex attraction is not different than everyone else's thing.
Yes.
And, but we've been, I don't know, we've just been told that in different ways of way that the global church, we don't talk about it. Or we're like, hey, no, that's different. So when I really did the work and got in community and realized like, this is like normalizing it, like this, I'm dying to this, but you're dying to this.
Dying to something.
Yes. It was easier for me to relate to guys and then be like, okay, now, and I know I'm going to keep, you're fighting your sin, I'm going to fight my sin. We're doing this together. And it was something I definitely chose in that 2 years that we were apart. I was like, a big part of that was I felt like I had been fighting for Jordan, but it was like when she was out of my life, then it was like, this is between me and the Lord. And I want to follow him and see what he has. So I'm going to deny my flesh and keep following him in this two-year period. And I did that. And then I started seeing, even outside of Jordan, I just started seeing the gifts he was giving me and things that he was bringing to my life. But just denying myself was like the biggest thing, and just committing to it. Like, I think we just have to commit. You have to say like, hey, this is what we're signing up for. And I don't know how it's all going to play out, but I'm committed to it.
The practical thing that I hear you saying, like, and this is, I think there's cultural conditioning in the sense of like Christian culture doesn't understand why we asked you guys to have this conversation. And I don't, you know, people are going to listen to this. And if you hear this conversation and your first response as a Christian is to be like, oh, I would say, check your whole self, because what you just said is could not be more true. Every issue is an issue. Sin is sin. We over glamorize and hyper focus on sexual sin in the church.
Yeah.
And actually, interestingly enough, the scripture doesn't differentiate. Mm-hmm. It talks about the pain of sin, and sexual sin is the one sin that, yes, you actually can actually damage and hurt your own self. You're sinning against yourself. That is the one unique dynamic. But outside of that, in God's eyes, it's not like, hey, guess what? This is just as bad. So for example, on a practical note, like, you're most likely probably, you're at the gym, you're not going to go into the men's locker room.
That's right.
For wisdom. Yes. I'm actually not going in the women's locker room.
That's right.
For wisdom.
Yeah.
Also, I think there'd be some dynamics there that are a little more obvious. Nonetheless, I'm trying to normalize it to that sense to just say, like,
yes,
this is built into all of us. And for us to try to like nuance and say, well, because it's this, it's worse, or I don't understand. And so I'm just saying that to say, I think there's a beauty in the normalization. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the reasons we want to have this conversation, because I think in culture, there's so much confusion around this. You guys are doing such beautiful work, and you're talking about the things that are really hard. And you're not shying away from the fact that, this is really difficult. And your dynamic is different. But I'm thinking of Elizabeth and I's dynamic. Like, we have difficult dynamics too. Right. They're not the same issues, mm-hmm. right? Or they're not around the same stuff. But if I get off and I don't decide to start dying from myself every day, it gets really messed up.
Yeah.
Totally.
No matter what the thing is. Yeah. And then Ronald Rollheiser, there's a book called Wrestling with God. I think this is a great book that would, even as you're talking, it's just coming to my mind over and over. And he basically talks about this idea that in this life, everyone will experience an unfinished symphony.
Mm.
That this side of heaven, all of us will not get all the things that we want. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe that feels like a sexual desire, or maybe it feels like a preference of a dream and a that never came true, or you wanted to have kids, but you can't have kids, or fill in the blank. The point isn't the thing as much as it's like we feel the ache this side of heaven that we live in an unfinished symphony. Yeah. Marriage will never satisfy you as much as you hope it will. No matter where you are at in the sexual attraction, it will always have this moment because that is how that's the brokenness. And so,
yes,
again, highlighting all of that to just set the stage to say, you guys did a brave thing and you decided to say, let's just talk about this and give it to the internet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was not easy.
So
our stuff.
So with that, like, stay in the story, stay wherever you want. But I mean, this has transitioned to a beautiful work, Open Spaces, obviously a podcast, a nonprofit, but you guys are doing some beautiful work around this. And our hope with having this conversation was just say, please engage with this content. Please listen. I want you to talk about Open Spaces, but I do want to say one thing for anybody that's listening. This is so culturally important because so many people are confused about their identities. Yeah. They don't know what to do. And I think there's a lot of people that don't know how to handle this. And they just go, well, it's just too much. And then they just go, I'm out. And why you guys stand out so much is because you haven't actually just given into the cultural narrative that this has to be. And you've said, let's actually do the work. Let's investigate. Mm-hmm. Let's figure out what Jesus really wants. And to hear your story that there's flourishing on the other side just gives hope. So talk to us about Open Spaces. Where did this come from? Yeah. Right? Because I mean, you have this beautiful story, but then it's kind of emerged into something.
Totally.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, we didn't. So the journey... We started telling some friends, you know, in our dating, in our marriage, it kind of like slowly unlocked and opened up in terms of like the people we would share our story with. But it was largely private. I mean, it was largely just us. And we thought at the time, you know, we're at the time when we got married and we were fully itinerant worship leaders. We're doing ministry all over, partnering with different churches and events.
Wow.
And we felt like nervous about like, well, what if we start sharing this and like maybe that'll put our jobs in jeopardy and our ministry in jeopardy. Like if people start finding out about this, they might not like this message. It could make them feel uncomfortable. So that we
I also felt a really strong conviction in all that to like people that we were partnering with to talk to them before and just say, hey, this is part of my story.
Yeah,
I want transparency you to know who you're inviting in as an itinerant person. Like this is what you're inviting in and this is my past. I am not walking in that now, but like, this could be said about me and I want you to know as you're inviting us into your space. So that became like a big part. We're inviting friends in, we're dealing with it. Like,
so kind of slowly years. Yeah. We would, and then we kind of started being able to pastor people in different, sometimes it was different struggles, but where it felt appropriate, Jeff would share his story and, you know, starting to see things unlock as we would share it with people, especially as it relates to just generally anyone's struggle and what it looks like to deny yourself. And
friends started like telling other friends, we gave permission. We're like, hey, if this ever helps somebody, they would share and they'd connect us. So then we found ourselves like pastors I'm a pastor at a church. And like, we found ourselves like in the church, like just a lot of people like talking to people one-on-one about it and like having them in our home and trying to like counsel them through it. And so then
there was also the element of watching sometimes from afar, how many people in ministry in particular were falling because they had this hidden part of their lives.
Well, that was probably one of the biggest catalysts. Is there was like, there was a moment that there was a story that came out, another one that of this is this, you know, it was said that this was this guy's story and he was in ministry and it was a big deal. And I was like, okay, that we have carried this, We have this miraculous story that, that only the Lord has done. So it's his work. It's what he's done in us. And we felt it felt dishonoring to God to like hold it and to be like, well, we're not going to share that, you know, just because of what the risk of us being humiliated or shame or like that doesn't live in us anymore. Like as free people, like we're not going to bow to shame. We're not going to bow to humility. Like it's like we're going to live in true freedom. And so we started discussing like what, how could we actually share this and let more people hear about it to where we could, I could relate to guys. Like I, and the interesting thing is like, I would just see guys as a worship leader at a church. And like, I would look out and I'd be like, I can assume some things in the room. And I feel like I was like, hey, I don't know where these guys are going. I don't know how they're living their life, but I don't want to err on the side of my story being quiet when I had hope to offer them.
Yeah.
If I'm supposed to be leading them, I need to be vulnerable and share my story in hopes that they could relate to someone and know that there is another way. And I think that it became more and more clear in the culture that we're living that our story was like, hey, with God, all things are possible, even in this. Now, not everybody with same-sex attraction, we're not saying our story is your story and that you should get married and you have to, you know, live this way that we've chosen, but we are saying it's a possibility for you. And what we want to hear, what we want people to hear is this is a possibility for you. Like you could choose to fight this. And that's why we're trying with even open spaces to offer practical ways. How do you fight that? Like, well, we're talking about that. And like, here's ways as a married couple, we figured it out with our friendships. But that was a journey of many years. And like, and finally, when we got to the launching the podcast in earlier this year, we finally that it was just like, wow, even the night before we were like, are we really doing this? Because we felt like a podcast was the best place for people to see our face, to hear our story, for not to feel like we're judging anyone, but to say, hey, we're not the convictors. The Holy Spirit's convictor. We just want to tell you our story.
Yes.
And so when we got to that place of releasing it was like, even the night before we were like laying in bed, we're like, are we really doing, like Jordan had a knot in her stomach. I'm like, are we doing this?
Yeah. Are we about to blow our lives up?
Yeah.
But ultimately
we were like, we have a great life. Like, why are we about to blow it up? Like, but it was worth it to us.
Totally. And we wanted to see, we wanted people to see what was possible. Like you said, we want to see like, this can be possible with Jesus. And we also wanted to help normalize the conversation around sexuality in the church because the church on the whole just has not done a great job of being available to the culture to talk about this.
People like me have nowhere to go.
There's not enough resources.
Where are you supposed to go? Where are you supposed to talk about it?
And just educate people too. Educate people to help them understand someone else's struggle. Yeah. It might not be at all your own, but anytime we learn about each other, our mercy increases exponentially. And so we wanted to offer a resource that could potentially help do those things.
And that was a huge piece. That was a really big piece because we were looking at the church in general and we're like, we need to help people understand that like this can be in someone's story and it's not worse than, it's not gross. Like it's just another thing that someone's fighting.
And if you're walking alongside someone who's struggling with something that you don't understand, maybe here's some practical tools as you're walking alongside.
Yeah.
Because what I'm hearing in your story is like these pivotal moments where you brought it out into the light.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Jordan, by God's grace, you were just there to just be with him in the midst of it, which then you brought it out into the light more when you talked to the counselor and like your whole story is on your podcast.
Step by step.
Your parents. Like, and what I see you doing for people is you're recognizing that unfortunately, so often in the church, this gets still left in the dark.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which means people continue to live into it because they're doing it alone.
Yeah,
absolutely. It makes a lot of assumptions.
How in the world would you have been able to withstand, like do what you knew God was calling you to do if you were doing it entirely by yourself?
Yeah,
if you had no accountability, if you had nobody knew what you were carrying.
Yes.
And so what I love about what you guys are doing is you're just creating a space to just put some light on it and allow people the permission to like, hey, you can come out of hiding.
Right.
Yes.
Because that's actually where you're going to find freedom.
Absolutely.
And I so am with you. I think there are some churches who are doing it really well and there's still a lot that it's just really easy. It's easier to leave it in the dark because we don't understand it, because we don't know fully what it all is supposed to look like. We don't have a nice tidy box around it, rules around it.
Yeah.
But what I love is you guys are just giving permission. And I think that's what any of us do when we're willing to vulnerably share our stories. We give other people permission to be able to do the same.
Well, exactly. that was a big piece of us saying like where we can share our story and we can argue all day long on points and all that, but you can't argue with someone's story.
No,
you can't argue with the fact that without Jesus, without someone asking me questions, without my community, without like surrender, like I would have lived a very different lifestyle. And me personally, that didn't seem like I can easily see that would have maybe taken my life or like, because there were many moments of that depression and like what that would have looked like. But hope came through all of those other areas and bringing it to the light. Yeah. And now our life is amazing. And
not without struggle.
Definitely not without struggle.
But a beautiful redemption story. Yeah.
Okay, I want to switch gears a little bit.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about kind of our moment and the church and how do we handle this and how do we bring this stuff out into the light. Obviously, just sexuality is like just a topic of our time.
Yeah,
right. Totally. Now.
And our kids are hearing messages that are so counter to the scriptures, counter to the way of Jesus. They're having to learn how to coexist at school and love people well with people who believe very differently. We're as parents trying to help them navigate truth, but also love people who are not living in God's
truth.
Exactly.
That's right.
I'm thinking of like the time in which you were growing up and now our cultural moment. Like, what do you wish would have been different when you were a little boy, when you were an adolescent, when you were a high schooler, when you were newly in college? Like, what can we as parents do? I'm thinking of the parents who have a Jeff in their home and maybe they don't even know it yet. Maybe they have a little bit of an idea.
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe their kid has totally been open with them about it.
Yeah.
Like, what could that parent do to walk their kid through it in the way of Jesus, but love them well, be with them in it? What could they do?
Yeah, that is
really
good.
I know that's a really big question. You need to do a whole podcast season on that topic alone.
Yes. And we are like, it's been an interesting journey with our kids.
Yeah.
You know, even them learning our story. And us sharing with, you know, this right now, our kids are 11, 10, and 6, and just trying to share even with our story.
Yeah.
But I do think to answer your question, I think that the thing that we've been talking to, a lot of parents have reached out to us, and it's been a big question of like, hey, my son, my daughter told me they're struggling in their identity. What would you say? And there's a couple things that I would say, and I want you are talking to so many women about it too, but I think not being afraid of the conversation is number one.
Yeah.
I think that if we live in a fear of like, well, once it's said, like for me, it was I didn't feel like I had a place to talk about it. So I think not being afraid of the conversation, because the reality is our kids are hearing about it at school.
Yep.
They're bringing those questions home. And I understand the tendency to like be like, I want to shut that down because I don't want them to like go take their minds down that path and think that this is another option. But the reality is they're hearing it at school. So I want to address it at home.
Yeah.
And so like we have with our kids, we've tried to like speak into sexuality from a very young age about how God made our bodies and what we believe marriage is between a man and a woman. And we've been speaking that over them. And training them already so that when the time comes, we can say there is confusion in the world. Mm-hmm. And that's sin is confusion, and that's part of it. But I think that the honesty, I think that when a child talks to their parent about it, we've got a lot of people who have said like, hey, our kid told us, what do we do with that? Mm-hmm. Like we raised them in the church, we raised them in scripture, but now they're saying this is what their attraction. I would just say, lean into them, because if they're trusting you to tell, if they're telling you, you didn't lean into them and don't lean away, like ask the questions. And even what you were saying, Elizabeth, like even talking about like, you know, intuition as a parent, you can, sometimes you're just kind of, you know, and you kind of wonder, but I think like even in that intuition, like that's, I feel like the Spirit gives us that and it's like a gift. So like start asking some questions, like if you're seeing an unhealthy relationship, don't shy away from it, but dive into it and ask questions about like, what is this like? How does this play out for you? And moving towards your child and not away from them out of fear, because we wanted to be able to trust that the Lord has them and protecting them. And maybe you think your words can mess something up, but I would say against that, like the Lord is going to do what he's going to do and protect them. And but the last thing I'll say before you go is we have not experienced what it would be like for a child to come to us and say this. So we're speaking out of the best we can. But for me as a kid, what I wanted was what I was craving was somebody to ask me hard questions. And I was you know, even as a teenager, like I probably would have like shut them down and been a punk in the way I answered it.
Sure.
But I would have remembered that they asked the question. I would have remembered that they saw something and it wasn't hidden. Because I was living in a, like, oh, no one knows this. It's all hidden. But I would bet that there was some intuition happening in the home that if it would have been asked of me, it would have begun to bring that into the light at a very young age. That would have, whether or not I engaged in the conversation, it would have been helpful.
Yeah, and consciously or subconsciously, you would be hearing like, you're worth a level of discomfort for me. Mm. Like for me to step into something that's uncomfortable, you're worth it to me. Yeah. So even if it, even if it's tense or weird or awkward, it shows that child worth. Yeah. And something else that we've kind of begun talking to parents about is it's just kind of deciding from the beginning as soon as you can, making a choice. What's your biggest priority as their parent in this season of their life? Now they're sharing this thing with you that might make you uncomfortable. It might make you disillusioned, or you might feel completely ill-equipped. Yeah. What's your biggest priority as their parent in this moment? Yeah. Do you want to be just a safe place for them? Mm. Do you want to be the person that they will always talk to openly, like just create that freedom, decide what you really want, and then kind of filter what happens from there through that lens. So if you want to be that safe place, then what is that going to look like? How is that going to inform your responses and your reactions? And, and then, I think just more of like the, don't be afraid. It is so, I think we think that we have so much power to derail or to inform or to make something happen. Mm. But just trusting the Holy Spirit is so, so big. And being willing to, this is probably a huge one, and I think that you've seen this a lot too, is just be willing to share your own story and understand that will unlock so much, that will create so much safety for your that's child. Cool. If they're sharing this crazy deep thing with you, that's an amazing opportunity for you to be vulnerable with them and show like, I might not know what it's like to walk in this, but let me share with you what I have walked through and what has been, even, you know, opening up your own childhood situations or things you might have never shared with your kid because you didn't think they were ready to hear it. Mm. You know, let that be the opportunity where you just say, hey, this is my story and just watch the freedom that can come from that.
I have a very, first of all, very helpful and let's appreciate the complexity. Like that is such a hard place to be. And culturally, you know, anybody that's like listening to this and thinking, oh, you just need to accept your kids wherever they are. Like, of course, and like, of course you need to love them. I've already made the decision. If any of my kids come to me and say, Dad, I'm struggling with this, my first response is going to be love, embrace, understanding, man, this must be hard. But there's a ton of stats out there, especially when kids are very young, especially if they've been overexposed to internet pornography and or social media early. Stats are around 80% of those that profess they're gay when they're in middle school actually grow up to actually be in loving heterosexual relationships.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Because a lot of the hormones, a lot of the brain activity, I mean, there's so much going on. So there's times when your kids come to you and they're like, I'm 10 and I'm gay. And you're like, what? And I would just say from experts that are not me, guys like Preston Sprinkle, who does a lot of great work in this space, you know, there's a lot of data to show like that is not always the case. Now that doesn't mean
that's right.
Like in your story, Jeff, like you're like, this is still with me. Right. Yeah. But that doesn't, but again, it's not defining who you are, but my question or rather, I think an important differentiation that I really appreciate that you guys have said, but I want to note it because I think it actually means a lot. You've said so many times, same sex attracted, and you haven't said I'm gay. Mm-hmm. And I think those are very important identity statements.
Yeah.
I would love to hear more about that.
Yeah.
The importance of not saying I'm gay versus I'm saying sex attracted, because I know there's a lot there and I know that you have a lot to say, but I want to just kind of tee that up.
Yeah. Well, I'll say this. I think for me, where I land and what I've come to understand is that if I were to say that I was gay, that is an identity issue that all of a sudden now I have put myself in identifying as something that is against what the Lord, I feel like he has put in me. So I don't say that I'm gay. I say that I'm same sex attracted, but that is because I am attracted to guys. But the Lord also is redeeming even in that, like the fact that like being with Jordan for so long, I'm attracted to Jordan.
Yeah.
Like it is a cultivating of a new way for me. And if I were to keep claiming an identity that is not mine to carry, which I believe is not mine to carry, and that was part of putting my stake in the ground. I'm not a gay man. I'm not. And so where I would never say that about myself, you know. And it's an interesting thing because it's terminology, but I do think the way we talk to ourselves is the way we start living and the way we start believing about ourselves.
Yes.
So even with the same sex attraction, I talk about that and more publicly now, and we're doing that because of like helping people understand. But it's not even something that I really, I'm not like day to day talking about that same thing. Like I'm just kind of like, yeah, like I have this struggle. But it's an identity issue for me that I don't want to claim or live in, that I'm a gay man. Like that's, I don't say that. So it's a very different distinction to me. And it really does weigh into how I feel. Like if I was saying that, my mind would start thinking differently about myself and I would start living a certain way or questioning a lot more.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I think too, for clarity, I think some people might find it helpful when you do say same sex attracted and I'm attracted to guys. I think some people might need some clarity around like that would be your area of temptation.
That's right.
Like if you're going to be tempted towards sinful behavior, that is one way that the enemy will come. And that your proclivities, you know, towards that kind of temptation.
That's right.
You know, I think for all of it, if you just think about the mind and the brain and how it works, it's not helpful or healthy for us to just go around identifying by our temptations. Mm-hmm. And it's not, it's not hopefully like great helpful for us to just like, well, I'm Jordan and I am an anxious person. Yes. I am Jordan and I am I'm a prideful person.
That's a great
and
example.
I just walk around in my pride all day long, you know, and it's not the same thing, but it is, you know, it kind of helps.
I think it's close.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a great way to say it.
Wow.
Yes.
And how often with those things do we say, I struggle with anxiety. I struggle with pride. We don't say, I am anxiety.
Yes.
I am pride.
Right.
Yes.
Like that's not my whole person.
Yes.
Yes.
But are those things that anybody can struggle with? Yes.
Yeah. And we use that terminology a lot. Like I struggle, I fight. I mean, it's never like I'm just sitting in a same sex attract. Like it's like I'm fighting against it. I'm struggling with it. But like, that's a great point.
I want to highlight that you guys have been given a lot of responsibility, a lot of gifting. You're telling this part of your story and we're honing in on this aspect of your life. But you guys are songwriters. You are also worship leaders. You also lead in one of the most influential churches in the country and in the world. And that's no small deal. I'm highlighting that just to simply say, like, I want to, for anyone that's like, can God use me in my struggles?
Mm.
I don't know what your version of use you is, but I think your story is one of encouragement that in brokenness and honesty and transparency, God can use all of us, no matter how broken, to continue to fulfill his kingdom in any capacity.
Yeah.
And stage size or church size, who gives a rip? Mm-hmm. Nobody cares about that. I think certain people do, and they're usually unhealthy folks. But what I mean—
Let's talk about that.
Yeah, we want to have a whole conversation about that. But
part two.
What I'm trying to highlight is that at the end of the day, if you're sitting around going, can God use me if I struggle with this? My question that my therapist asked me was like, well, is God using you?
Mm.
And if the answer is yes, then I think the answer is yes, right? Like, can we have deep struggles and still be used by God?
Yeah.
And the answer is yes. Now, that doesn't mean that your sin doesn't find you out, destroy you, kill you, all the things that could very much happen.
Right. Yes.
But I do think it's just maybe to give hope that you guys are in this space of like, it's the active tension this side of heaven.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Things are painful and hard. And things are beautiful.
Yes.
And living in that tension is just this unique dynamic. I'd love to know what you guys would say to anyone that's listening to this and saying, wow, I'm struggling with this. I have struggled with this. And few people know. My spouse doesn't know. What would you just even encourage? What are just some things that you would say, hey, this is a good first step? And it can be very, whatever level, but I just want to hear, what's a good first step to begin the process of talking about if you're a person listening that struggles with same-sex attraction, what are some good first steps?
Oh, that's great. I would say, if you think about it long enough, you can find the person in your life that's the most safe and trusted person.
Yeah.
And for me, I was always looking for that. Like, who is that person that I could actually say? Who's the person that's not going to, that I'm not watching share and gossip about people or talk about everyone? For me, that was Jordan. Like, it was like, she was my safest place. So finding the safest person and then actually being talking. Not everyone needs to go do a podcast. No, we don't need that. Like, we're just trying to break the door open. But what we are trying to say is like, you have a trusted person to reach out to. Mm-hmm. And I would speak, and I want you to speak on the side of the person that receives the information. Cause as somebody who needed that place, what I needed to be able to tell one person, and what we have seen even in like through open spaces, and what has been unbelievable for us is so many marriages of, hey, you know, this was our story. We never talked about it. My husband told me for the first time that he is same-sex attracted after listening to this. And that could be scary. That's we understand how complex all that is. Mm-hmm. And when you're in marriage, and if you didn't know this, or like, but I think there is, what we hope that people would do would be comfortable enough to share their story and not be shamed by their story, but step into the light, share with the one person and say, and that be the thing. But then I want you to speak, because this is what you have done so well, is like, as the person receiving that information, the spouse, the trusted friend, what would you say into when they do tell them?
Yeah. Well, one thing that we've talked about a lot, and, that I have learned that, you know, wasn't even intentional at first, but again, the Holy Spirit for sure was in the moment, is when someone does share something with you, consider, you know, and sometimes it's just, I mean, it has to be this like split second decision.
Yes. Yes.
When you could be completely shocked, thrown off. But your initial reaction and response is massive, and we're not always going to get it right. And there is absolutely grace for that. But even if it's just I love you so much. Thank you so much for telling me that. That had to be so hard.
Wow.
Just thinking about, how does your face look? What's your body language? But even I think, practically speaking, what we can all be practicing is being in how to be a safe person for someone is understanding that, you know, quite simply, I think this is something we can be teaching our kids from an early age, is like, when someone shares something with you, that's their story to tell. That's something that they have chosen to trust you with. And so now that it's not your story to tell.
Wow.
And so even, you know, learning how to be trustworthy and just learning how to hold someone's story as a sacred treasure that they have gifted you with, but it's not yours to give to everybody else.
Yes.
And so I think just practicing, and there were just people in my life that modeled that and that I really admired. And so I think I learned, and you learn from being burned by people who don't hold your story with, you know, with honor and respect. I'm only going to talk to someone, you know, if this is a person who's like, hey, so-and-so told me this, they told me not to tell anybody, so please don't tell anybody. I'm like, you shouldn't be telling me,
you know, that's a
red flag.
Yeah.
But sure. I think that we can begin to practice that just as friends, as you know, in parenting, training our kids, like this is sacred. This is something we can hold. And like, if they haven't given you permission, then it's not yours to tell. And I think that what we don't understand fully is that helps people learn to see you as a safe place. Like, I've never heard you gossip about people. I haven't heard you share information that you knew. And so I think you might be a safe space for me. I think I might be able to trust that you're going to hold this with care. Yeah. So I think that those are things that are very easy.
Yeah.
It's actually easy to not share information. We want to, you know, you kind of have to battle with sometimes like this, like, oh, it's so interesting. Good to
tell somebody, like, you know what I've that got person, the I don't want to say anything.
But the just other thing, learning how to keep our mouth shut. You know, it's that's like, a lot it's harder simple. Than it's
simple, simply said, very hard to live out.
I do want to say too, after, so telling someone, Christian counseling helped me a ton. I need a counselor to process with, but I needed someone. And so in the pre-interview, I always, like when I find a new counselor, as we've moved and had to do that, I always say, like, are you coming from this from a biblical view? And how will you counsel me? Because I don't want, we actually went to a counselor who we didn't do that. And two sessions in, she was like, do you think you should be living this way? And I was like, we're out.
Yeah.
Because I don't need somebody telling me that I'm going to live that way, because I've already chosen what I'm going to do. Absolutely. I need affirmation scriptural that backs up what we are. So like, That the Christian counseling and then community is like has been the greatest thing for us. We have I meet with two guys. Jordan meets with the there's six of us, three couples. Jordan meets with the two girls, and that's every week. And we are they ask me the hard questions. Where did you struggle this week? And like what like did you go anywhere that you shouldn't have gone? And the questions that, you know, just talking about where we are that week. And it helps me every single week just kind of reacclimate and not be too far off of like, you know, that I'm always one step away from making a stupid decision. But coming back to that.
We actually all are. Yes. So I want to highlight that we can all screw up our lives with one stupid decision. So you don't get the unique one on that one, buddy. We all get that one.
Yeah.
I do want to ask a question. This is not a pivot, but more of just a... So we've been talking about same-sex attraction. We've been talking about, Jeff, how that is manifested, how that's lived in your life. And this could be exponentially personal and exponentially challenging to answer. But Jordan, I want to ask you something. I'm thinking of you're a woman. You've been waiting your whole life to get married. You get married to this guy. And there's got to be a part of this for you, I'd imagine, where you're like... I want him to think everything about me that he wants to think. Now, I also know he does, but at the same time, I can only imagine for you, there's a part of that where you go, there's maybe a sting there. Now, again, I know this is like, I don't want to project. I don't want to pry, but I'm also I'm just thinking for the woman that's listening.
Oh, for
like,
sure.
Not only how do you speak to that woman, but what do you do with that? Mm-hmm. Because you are equally valued in love, right? And equally deserving of love, just like Jeff's deserving of love. And you try to meet each other in that. But at the very same time, there's that part where it's like, am I loved in the same way that I would be? You know what I mean?
So
I'm just trying to hopefully just shed light on the questions that probably are illuminating in people's heads. And so feel free to go with the other direction. But I just, I wonder about that.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I'm really glad you asked, because I do think that... that I'm so happy to talk about this. It's been a journey for me.
Yeah.
And even in more recent years, I've even learned about more deeper layers that have existed for me that I wasn't always aware of. But I think, it was challenging from the beginning to kind of have to process. What if I just imagined this, like you said, like I imagine this certain type of attraction and this certain type of physical intimacy and like that it would look a certain way.
Yeah.
And so I had to like deal with that and kind of like realize like, okay, that's not going to exist for me in this specific way.
Okay.
So I had to like kind of come to terms with that. And at first I thought just acknowledging it was enough. And I thought like, okay, yes, this might be somewhat disappointing and it could lend somewhat to insecurity. But then there was this other piece that I would kind of like settle into that I would just sort of make into like a fun element of like, I'm the only woman he's attracted to. Literally the only one.
There's any other woman.
Turn it that way, you know, for myself.
That's good. So fun. Yes.
It just kind of became this thing of like having to realize the uniqueness and the beauty of our particular individual connection, story, relationship, and every element. And like, just learn to be, to value that and to find the beauty in that. But then, and this kind of dives into even some of my own just deeper struggles of like, just walls that I had built up in my processing of like not wanting to, I don't know, wanting to be someone who could easily forgive and easily accept and, just wanting that to be who I was, but then realizing like, oh, I kind of shut this whole thing off of like, the ability to grieve something that I lost.
Yeah.
And I think I thought for a while that that would be dishonoring to Jeff or even to the Lord. Like, Lord, you've given me this beautiful redemption story. Why should I waste time worrying about what I didn't get when we've got this great thing? Mm-hmm. And through the help of counseling and like really digging into that, realizing like it's okay and in fact healthy to be able to let yourself sit in some grief for what you wanted and didn't get, not because it's like not in a selfish space, but just like being able to process that and move through it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I had to, and that was more recent. of like really being able to say like, this was hard. And that was like, that was unfortunate in a way. I wouldn't change anything about our story. I would never want to be married to anyone else. I want what we have. Mm-hmm. But I also had to learn through a long process of time that it was okay for me to grieve and to also in the normalizing sense, like we all have to, we all have to, you know, kind of normalizing in the sense of like other women might have wished that their husband was more empathetic or wished that their husband communicated more verbally or wished that they had, you know, that their husband was more gentle with their kids, you know, like, so there's so many things to normalize it as well. Like we all have to kind of be able to grieve like, well, I love my husband. I love my marriage. These are the ways that it isn't what I thought. And I can acknowledge that, deal with it, and then kind of move forward.
So well said. I want to highlight for anyone listening that if you're listening to this and you're like, well, they didn't mention this and they didn't nuance this, this is Jeff and Jordan's story. And this is their situation. And it will not be the carbon copy of
absolutely.
Yours.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely.
And so if you're like trying to find like, they didn't mention about this and then, well, they should be able to live freely into who God made them and all these things. Are they born with it or not? Like, we're not talking about that on purpose. And the reason I'm saying that is because we get lost in the weeds of the details of that. And we're not interested in talking about where it all started. We're interested in saying, when this is our experience, what does the Lord do? What can it look like?
And what's possible.
And what's possible. And you guys are giving a vision. And our hope today isn't to get in the weeds. So if you're like all uptight about it, feel free. You probably aren't going to want to listen to the rest. But that said, I just want to highlight, you guys are giving a picture of what could be.
That's right.
So much of our generation lacks models. And we just don't have models of what it looks like. I think there's a lot of couples right now that go, I want this. What does it look like? And we're saying, check out Open Spaces, because I think you're giving people a model of what it can look like. Again, you're so honest. It's messy. It's not easy. Like, there's a lot of pain, Jordan, you just said. There's a lot of pain, Jeff. Like, but then again, there's pain in every marriage and every dynamic. And so I think if we can get out of our heads that, like, well, because it's different than maybe what is normal, then it's bad. It's not bad. It's just different. And you guys are giving a model to what this might look like.
Yeah.
And so we want to say thank you. Thank you for doing this. Saying that we're proud of you is an understatement. We just are in your corner. We're championing you guys. And what you're doing is beautiful. And I know it's hard and it's vulnerable. And it's
thank you for valuing the conversation.
Yeah.
And putting value on talking about it. That's massive.
I want to say that too. I just want to say thank you all for like actually not being afraid what we just were talking about, not being afraid of not talking about this and like actually asking questions. And like, as Jordan and I are now open books to like try to help people. I think it's people like y'all that are willing to like dive into the space, ask questions, and figure it out together. And like, it's a beautiful thing. And we're so grateful for that.
Truly.
So where can people find you? Tell us where to find all your things.
Yeah. So Open Spaces, it is a podcast that, it is a nonprofit that we started. We have a lot of dreams and visions of what that will turn into. But we ultimately are just trying to have space to talk about hard things and open people's eyes to what is actually happening in the world.
Yeah.
And hopeful that we can have these conversations and point people to Jesus and remind people what is possible. But they can find us on all platforms for podcast.
YouTube.
Yep.
Okay.
Open Spaces Podcast on Instagram. And
It's Open Spaces Podcast on Instagram. We'll have it all in the show notes. So you can just click it. Yes. We can have that. But
that's right.
Website openspaces.com.org. Where are we at?
Openspacespodcast.com.
Oh, there you go. Perfect. Well, again, have it in the show notes. But thank you guys. This has been a gift.
Amazing.
And a treasure. And I think so much of the conversation that we had today, our prayer is that it just perpetuates good conversation in the home and perpetuates the fact that vulnerability and honesty is actually the safest place to be, really.
That's right.
I mean, now not everyone can hold that. I want to highlight, not everyone can hold that well, but I'm just saying in general, there's a lot of fear around being honest. And I think there's a lot of that's the lie of the enemy. I think there's a lot of freedom around being honest, not fear. And so if we can step into the freedom, let's do it. So Jeff and Jordan, thank you for jumping on the show.
Thank you guys so much.
This is definitely not the last time. We're going to have lots more conversations.
Man.
Since we're sharing a mic, Elizabeth, do you want to say anything else?
I think you wrapped us up well. Wrapped us up well. I'm just so thankful for you guys. And am I right to assume that if anybody listening is like, I have more questions, I am dealing with the situation, I would love their advice.
Yes.
You guys have like an email or something.
All of it.
Instagram yes. messages.
Yeah. It's in whatever. The website. You can get connected.
The people could reach out if they have right. more specific questions.
Yeah, that's right. We've been talking to a lot of people that way and getting connected to people that way, trying to answer as many questions.
And I think we need just so much more of that, of people being like, where do I go to just ask the questions that are actually a part of my everyday life right now?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Truly.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you guys done like Q&A episodes on your
We have.
We, yeah, we did one.
Okay.
Yeah, we've done one.
All right.
But
it's time to do 100 more.
There are many questions. Are
very we want helpful. The questions because it's helpful to know where people are and like what they need to know and
yes.
with kids and all the stuff.
Send questions to their email. That's what we're going to say.
Yeah,
do that. And thank you guys again.
Thank you.
Thanks, y'all.